So when Joey asked me to preach, I was like, and he said, whatever you want to preach on, Joey, you know when you don't get zero direction from your lead elder? And I had a lot of things on my heart, but then when I was seeking the Lord said, just come under Joey and just tell under what he feels the Lord's doing. Him and the rest of the elders are feeling the Lord, what the Lord is doing. So last week, Joey shared on loving one another. He said it's easy, probably more easy, to love God. Sometimes not. But he said it, often the challenges is horizontal love. Loving each other. Right? And this is a key thing. This is something that we need to fight for. And when I was thinking, Lord, what do I preach on in this area? What popped up for me was, what is the things that's going to hinder us in loving one another? You know, it's easy, we all know this, love God, love people. But what is the things that's going to hinder us loving each other? And this is loving each other is binary. It's on or off. It's not I'm loving 90% of the people, but 10% I got issues with. Because then you're not loving the people. And the word says that this will define who we are. More than loving God and loving people, it actually says love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Because by this, you will know who is your Father, that you are children of God. The word says that those that are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And the Spirit will lead us into loving each other. And you know, the main thing for me that will keep us from loving each other is offense, unforgiveness, which leads to bitterness. And the word that Annelien brought, I was like, yo, the Lord wants to deal with unforgiveness in our hearts, not for any other thing that is going to hinder us. And let me say, we need to win this battle. Every single person here today has struggled with unforgiveness, including me, including Joey, including Bessie. Every single person here has struggled with unforgiveness and will struggle with it. And you'll have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Let your Holy Spirit rain on this hard heart. Lord, blow wind into this dry bones. It's not I've overcome and it's done. This is a battle that we have to keep on fighting because it will define who we are. It will define if we're kingdom people. We can't say that, Lord, I'm going to hold on to some things. I'm going to look partially like you, but it's areas I'm not willing to shift in. Amen. If you can put up Matthew 18:23-35. Thanks, Nick. I haven't seen you for a while. Welcome back. I don't know where you are. Okay, I'll read from here. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved to compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. So you see, when you, forgiveness is forgetting the debt, clearing the debt, wiping the slate. It's gone. Now, I know some people say forgiveness, when you forgive, you forget. Like, we don't really forget. Right? We still got minds and we can remember. Like, I can remember the things that I had to forgive. It's still in me. But when I think about it, there isn't any pain. Right? There isn't a Men in Black. You know that light? Look into the light and you're just going to forget. That's not how it works. We actually will remember, but we won't have, there won't be pain. There won't be. You know, you're struggling still with unforgiveness, even if you think you don't. When you think of that thing or that person, there's a, you know that thing? that you, in your mind, you can set your mind on, I'm forgiving, I'm letting it go, but you just can't. There's a thing. And you need the Lord. Say, Lord, help me in this. And you know what, for me, what I've learned is that actually the things that I used to remember, the things that I struggled with, where it used to be records of wrongs, like Joey said, all those things now are memorials for the goodness of God. Because I remember in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord did something with Israel or with Jacob or the leaders of Israel or his people, they came to a place and there were struggles, there was battles, there was a meeting with God, there was an overcoming, and they would build a memorial. So you don't have to forget. You don't have to get amnesia. I forget a lot at my age, but you do not need to forget. You can remember without pain. Like when I think of some of the things that the Lord had to do in me, I say, it's only God. I say, thank you, Lord, that you've shifted my heart. And if you get this, we can't do this without God. We can't do this if we're not a kingdom people. So again, goes on and says, let me just see, where are we, 28. But that same servant that went out, the same guy that just got forgiven, he's dead. He went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That is very little. Joey will know the exact amounts, but that's little. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Check this guy. You just got forgiven and you're taking people by the throat. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay his debt. So the title of this preach this morning is, where are your hands? Where are your hands? Because if you are saved this morning, every single one of us has been forgiven much. A mighty debt. A big debt. And if you can't forgive this morning, if you are in a place where you have people by the throat this morning, because that's what the word says, I can tell you now, you can't fully worship. You can't lift up holy hands. You can't have opening welcome arms. To a measure you can do it, but not to the fullness. Put your hands, he's currently busy. And I'm going to ask, where are your hands this morning? Because I can tell you, it's going to impact your walk with God. It's going to absolutely impact your walk with God. And that's what the word says, guard your heart, because from it flows everything. And often we think our heart is this compartment box with its different compartments, and we can put the people we have issues with in there, and everything else will be fine. But think, when we think God, think, I've opened this bottle, but okay. Think this bottle. If I threw half the stuff out here, what's flowing in it? What's flowing out of it? If I start pouring unforgiveness in here, if it was Coke here, I'd do a demonstration. But imagine. If I start pouring Coke or Oris or whatever in here, it will infect it. So we think, I can put this to the side, Lord, but it's still me and you and the 90% of the people. But the Lord says, your heart is infected. And you need to guard your heart, because out of that everything flows. It will permeate through you. It will impact your decisions, how you submit to the Lord and leadership, how you love each other. It will impact every part of your life, of your walk. You will never walk in the fullness of God if you try to keep things that is not Him. And you know, in this world, it is very hard to forgive. Everything in this world is set up against forgiveness. You know, more and more forgiveness is looked at as weakness in the world. Now this world says, hold on to. Thank you, Petre. Thank you, Patrick. Too late, bro. We moved on. Timing's a bit out, but I love it. Now this world says that there is this, that you should fight for yourself. Everything in this world is, when someone does you wrong, hold on to it. Remember the haters, let that thing drive you. What is driving you? Oh, my teacher told me I will never amount to much. My parents, my mother, my father, my uncle, my auntie, whoever told you something, and that thing is driving you. You might be successful in this world, but what's driving you? Because when we get saved, we repent of everything. We repent of the sin in our lives and the things we think we're successful in. Because what is driving us, and if it's not the Lord, is worthless. If it's not the Lord, it is sin. And the way you know you haven't let go, if something else is driving you, is motivating you. Because this world says, hold on to the haters. Because that's going to drive you. But the kingdom of God, the word of God says, kingdom people, forgive quickly. The world says, hold on to it, let it drive you. It's demonic. There's this cancel culture. If someone makes a mistake, get them. And the word of God says, forgive quickly. Be full of grace and mercy, because he was full of grace and mercy to us. Where was I? 31. So when his fellow servants saw that had been done, is Nick following me? Yeah? 31, yeah. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you had begged me. Should not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So the Bible is clear. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. The way you forgive, you will be forgiven. The way you pour out mercy and grace, you will receive mercy and grace. It's what you give, you will receive. This is a kingdom principle. What you sow, you will reap. And the language there is that if you do not forgive debt, your debt will not be forgiven. Let me say, if your hands are still on throats this morning, that word says your debt is busy being rescinded. It's busy being brought back. You are reaping something onto yourself. You are nullifying what Jesus did. And you know what? I've spoken to so many people, and this is one of the things where the word is clear. But when you speak to people, it's like God understands and he does not. God will understand what they did to me. God will understand the impact it had in my life. God will understand how hurt I am. But the word says he will not understand. What he does understand is that he gave his son to come and die, to come and be tortured, to come and suffer, to come and drink from the cup of wrath, to come and drink every one of our sins, to be poured out on him, to be disconnected from the Father for a moment. Why have you forsaken me, Father? He knew his son went through that for us. And for us not to forgive, he will not understand. And we need to get that. We need to get that. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's just what I said now. And do not say, are forgiven. Do not say to look like a good Christian. It's not for us, it's for you. It's not for me, it's for you. Forgiving is more for you. And if you, it's not to put up a show to say, no, I've forgiven, but in your heart, you're harboring things. Because that thing is busy infecting your heart with bitterness. The things flowing out from you will be bitter. God will not understand, because he says he won't. So, the first thing, one of the things I want to share on is before unforgiveness takes root, the word says deal with things quickly. In Ephesians it says, before you sin with anger, don't let the sun set, deal with it quickly, else you give the devil a foothold. Deal with things quickly. The moment you notice is the issue, deal with it quickly. Because if you do not, the devil has gained a foothold and he is busy working. If you can put up, let me just get it quickly. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. This, everybody knows this. Matthew 18, How do you deal with the issue? But I don't know how many of us actually know how to actually practically how this thing works. So the first thing it says is just between the two of you. I'd say massively as a church. I'm not saying this. I'm saying generally we fail at just between the two of you. So let me take, who can I use in this? That's my family. Okay, I'll use Michael and Chris. I mean, David.
I forgive.
So David and Michael. So David did something to Michael. And Michael got offended. So Michael should go to David, that's what the word says, and say, this is on my heart, right? But Michael didn't. Michael went to Chris and said, yes, you know David. You're sharing too long there, stop. And Chris was very excited to receive, to listen. Yeah. And often when you speak to people, it's like, I can't go directly to them. I don't have a bridge, really. He's not going to understand. I'm going to go to my bridge with Chris. Let me tell you, if you're not going to have a bridge to that brother that you have an issue with, you've got no other bridge. You do not have the Chris bridge, the Gavin bridge. There's only one bridge, and it's the David bridge. There is no other bridge according to the scripture. There's no way you can wrap it up to go to someone else. Let me go to my leaders first, because they will. And often when I speak to guys, they will say, no, I did that. I went to the person. But how did you go to the person? I'm going to tell my leaders. Full of fire. You know there's no hope of reconciliation. It's like I said to them, no, and you built a fort. There was no hope of reconciliation. There was no thing of, I want to win my brother over. And I'm going to go to the practical things of, if you offended, how do you deal with it? And how do you receive it? But before I get there, I want to say you need a Lord in this to go the right way. This is difficult things. This is heartfelt things. This is broken hearts, sore hearts. I know it can be difficult. And you need the Lord to come. And often, when I used to have conflict with people, not anymore, but when I used to have conflict with people and I had to go deal with things, I knew I had to spend time with the Lord. I need the Lord to soften my heart. You know, when you spend time with the Lord in His presence, your posture is going to be, oh Lord, you've forgiven me much. Your posture is going to be, I don't really care too much about the situation, the issue. I just want to get past this. I want unity. I want restoration. But if you do not go before the Lord, you're going to sit and meet and you're going to have walls in your heart. You're going to fight your case. So let's go. So, I want to see. I'll do this. So let's say you got an issue and you call your brother and you say, let us talk about this. The first thing I want to say is be specific. Is Leandia? Okay, I was trying to deal with something from last week. So, Joey, Leandi, yawned. Remember, that was the example? While Joey was preaching. So Joey goes to Leandi and he doesn't say, you always sleeping in when I preach. You never listen. It's not always and never. It's specific. Joey will say, last week Sunday, at around about 12 o'clock, you were yawning and your eyes were drifting. Be specific. A person can't deal with always and never, and let's deal with a specific thing. And then, what is the behavior? What happened? What is the situation? What did you see and what did you hear? Joey saw Leandi drifting. Okay, she was just yawning. Guys, I'm joking. This is just a joke example from yesterday. I see Leandi starting to be like, no. Yeah. Don't yawn, please. So, Joey will say, that is what I saw. So, it's what you saw and what you heard. It's not what you feel, the intention, the motive. I felt something in your heart. Because if it's not a fact, if it didn't really happen, if it's just a thought you've got in your mind, it's an accusation. And then you're in the territory of the demonic. Because the word says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So be specific. What happened? What did you see? What did you hear? Else you're accusing. And then the impact it had. Say the impact it had. Joey can say, you know, that really made me feel like you didn't really care about what I was saying. Like it was like worthless. And that's the way Joey felt. Not your intention, but Joey, that's, so remember at this point, you're just sharing how it made you feel. You didn't have to fight, was it right or wrong, but that's the truth for them. It hurt them. Else, if Joey doesn't share that, he's going to be sitting there and be like, you're going to go home. That thing's festering in his heart. Yo, do they know I prepare days and hours to preach? I preach my heart out. And then for some people, it's a lullaby. Not Leandy, not Leandy. But you get that. Most of the time when we're dealing with this, if we just follow the basic things of I want to win my brother over. Don't start with a thing of you know it's not going to work. You're going to go through all 100 things you've ever, every issue you've ever had with this person. It will never get resolved. Because how is that person going to receive it? So how does somebody receive? So I'm Leandy now. So how does she receive it, this thing? She's like, but that wasn't, I just, you want once, and it was more because I didn't get sleep, like Joey said, because I got small kids. So how do you receive it, listening to Joey? It's not, no, but the first thing is do you listen. Listen to what the person is saying, and it's hard to listen if your mouth is moving. It's hard to listen if you are thinking about the response. If you are building a fort to respond, if you are wanting to defend, because all you are thinking is, you're waiting until you get your chance to, you take your best shot and I'm going to give my best shot. Because that is not what this is. Listen. Seek to understand. Can you do that? Put yourself in the other person's shoes. Try to look from their perspective. From your perspective, you might not understand it, but can you put your shoes inside, your feet in someone else's shoes? Hear them. Like if Joey says, I got hurt, you don't have to argue that he didn't get hurt. The bra got hurt. Like he's saying he got hurt. Believe him. It's not about why, how, you must understand. That's fine, right, wrong. It's not about that. It's about you hurt a brother. And then you apologize. You take ownership. Even if you think you're right. I can tell you a mature believer that spent time with the Lord will know that you have to fold. Often I will be in situations and I will fold. I will fold because the unity is more important. Relationship is more important. I'm not saying fold on key things like scripture or I'm saying I'll fold on things that don't matter in eternity. I don't have to be right. Fold. For the unity, fold. That's, you know, there's going to be reward. I think there's going to be so much rewards in heaven for people that will fold and not fight for themselves. And there's a way to apologize. You don't say, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry that I hurt you while you look through your broken lens. I'm sorry you misunderstood and took it the wrong way. You know, let me just, how do you apologize? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. Nothing else. That is not time to explain and process. And if there is processing, there's time to process. This is so something doesn't take root. If it is processing, leaders can get involved, whatever. But that time is not the time to fight your case. Just fold. I'm sorry. And then any amends that need to be made. Let's say, simple example, money. Let's say it involves money, pay back. If you hurt the person and you know that this behavior is hurting somebody, stop. There's a response to this. Okay? So, the next thing I want to talk about is, and there's a lot more to that, how do you process things, but if you just follow that, if you start with, spend time with the Lord. That's already 90% covered. But then, if you follow those guidelines, I promise you it's going to help. And then, the one thing I want to say is don't get offended easily. Don't get offended easily. You know, one of the ways I learned not to get offended? When I learned that God is in control. Nick, if you can put up Romans 8:28. Kevin, you want to come sing while we wait? And we know. We know. We don't think, we don't guess, we don't maybe, we don't hope. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And we know. If you are His, you know. If you are His, let this scripture be burnt into your heart. And know it. Don't think it. Don't say maybe sometimes. All things. And for me, I used to think I was in control. I used to think I was in control. I was like, I'm looking after my family. I'm doing what I need to do. And remember, there was other things, but I remember with Jordan. Jordan, come here quick. Don't worry, it's not the forgiveness thing. So, I remember Jordan when he was in grade R. We went to like an orthopedic surgeon who had flat feet. And the surgeon told us, like, what have you done to me and Tanya? What have you done? Like, you should have come years ago. And we're like, but he's been seeing a physiotherapist. And they said, well, they're useless. How do you bring him now? There's nothing I can do. When he's 18 or 16, we're going to break. I have to break all his bones and realign it. And we're going to... He just went off at us. And I remember, yo, that was painful. And I remember I struggled to forgive myself for so long. But it also taught me that I'm not in control. Because I used to think I'm in control. And I realized, Lord, I need you in this. And then the Lord came. And He showed me that He gives forgiveness. That He is the one that ultimately carries it. And I received it. And I forgave myself. And I think soon after that, Jordan, we were praying. So praying in the church we were at, and his one leg grew out. And like, you're amazing. And then, how old are you now, Joel?
23.
So I do know his age. I just want to say something. He's sitting here like... And then... But the Lord healed him. Because when that day came and they checked him out, it was like, there's nothing to be done. There's no breaking bones. That orthopedic surgeon said he'll never play sport. He's lucky if he can just walk without pain. And when we used to go camping and that, when it just happened, remember, you could play one day and then you're out for the rest of the camp in pain. But now today he's playing five-a-side, squash, doing whatever it is. Thank you, George. He's still got platfuchis, but flat feet. But the Lord had done something. But in that, the Lord taught me that I am not in control. We need to get it. We have offenses because we think someone has done something to us and has shaken our control, but we never had control in the first place. And we need to get this. We do not have control. It will help you with offense. And everyone knows the story of Joseph, right? If there's somebody that could have been offended at every turn, it was Joseph. Faith just yawned a massive thing. Faith will deal. Forgive me. And it wasn't even under the boat. Or like, yeah. Okay, I'm fine now. I'm fine. Faith. Quick. We'll deal quick. So the story of Joseph was, he was his father's favorite son. He was Jacob's favorite son because he was the firstborn of the woman that Jacob loved. And he got an amazing Gucci jacket. Multicolored coat from his dad, and he had dreams. And one day he told his brothers, I had a dream that you all going to bow before me. It wasn't taken well. And they planned to have him killed. And they were planning on how do we put blood on his jacket. But anyway, they sold him into slavery. So that was the first thing. They sold him into slavery. Do you think that impacted his destiny? If you're just looking at what's in front of you, you're going to think my life is over. And who sold him? Who betrayed him? His brothers. There are people sitting here today that was betrayed by their mother, their father, their brother, their uncle, their best friend. And you're thinking that it changed your destiny, it stopped what God had for you. So Joseph could have been, my life is over. But he continued to look to God. He didn't have his hands on his brother's throats. And then it went on. He went to Potiphar's. He worked in Potiphar's house as a slave. And then he was doing so well, they put him in charge of the whole house. Potiphar's house. But then Mrs. Potiphar. I don't know what's the first, but I call her Mrs. Potiphar. She liked him. She liked him. She desired him. She made a move. But he said, not today. And he had to run. He ran. And then he was falsely accused of trying to rape her. And then where was he put? In jail. So now, okay, Lord, I'll give you one chance. This happened, but okay, Lord, I'll give you this one chance. Maybe you can still do something in Egypt. Okay, you're starting to do something now. I'm head of Potiphar's house. I'm running things. I can see you doing something. But now he's in jail. So I'm like, Lord, I gave you that chance. Now I'm offended now for Mrs. Potiphar. And now in jail, there's the chief butler and the chief baker, I think. They had dreams and they came to him, interpreted. I think the baker, let me just check. Who was going to die? The baker. Perhaps I'm going by faith that you're right, eh? So the baker had a dream, he interpreted. He said, in 3 days, you're going to die. And he did. Then the chief butler had a dream, and he said, in 3 days, you'll be set free. And you'll be restored to your position that you had. But remember me. So what happened? It happened. He was set free, but he forgot about Joseph. And Joseph's again like, yes, so now it's Mrs. Potiphar, my brothers, and the butler. Offense is growing. It should have been. I was like, I only got so many hands to grab throats. But again, he didn't. And then the Pharaoh had a dream, and then the butler remembered, hey, David. I mean, not David, Joseph. And then Joseph interpreted his dream. There'll be 7 years of famine, seven years of famine. And ultimately, he became second in command in Egypt. And I just want to read when Joseph's brothers meet him, comes back to Egypt, because there's a famine and they need food. So they don't know where he is, and they're in a desperate place, but Joseph is in charge. If you can put up Genesis 45, please. Then Joseph should not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. I'd also be dismayed. If I'm sitting before a man that I tried to kill or thought of killing and put into slavery, and now he has the power to crush me, and I'd be thinking, this guy has his hand on my throat. All he has to do is squeeze. I would also be dismayed. So his brothers were dismayed. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. You know, later on it says that he wept over his brothers with joy, which he was happy to see them. See, Joseph never harbored offense. He drew them near. What our response when there's an issue? Push people away. When someone comes into the room, we leave it. When someone comes into the circle, we leave the circle. But he had every reason to push them away, but he drew them near. And then it says, so they came near, he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And in verse 7 it says, and God sent me before to preserve a prosperity for you in the earth and to save lives by a great deliverance. And so now it was not you who sent me, but God. What was Joseph's perspective? Whatever happened in his life, God was in control. Can I ask you, if you got offense with people, don't give people that power that they can impact your life, that they can change your destiny. There's only one that has the plan of your life in his hands, that knows the end from the beginning, and that is God Almighty. It is God Almighty. And Joseph had that perspective. He had all these things, and I'm honest with you, if I went through some of those things, I'm probably going to be like, yo. But he held on. If he was holding on to next, I can tell you now, I don't think you would have been made second in charge. Because I can tell you now, God does not raise up people that he can't trust if they get authority and power. That he can't trust that they will not crush others. So for me, harboring offense is not an issue with people. It's a misunderstanding of who's in control. It's a misunderstanding of all things. We know all things work together. I'm going to land now. So you can put up Psalm 51, Nick. So this Psalm David wrote out of a place of, he had an affair with Bathsheba. I'm sure we all know the story. And then husband Uriah, he was a mighty man. He was one of David's mighty men. David had him killed. And Nathan comes to him and he tells him, you have sinned. And from this day there will be a sword in your house. And there was always conflict in David's house. And David sees his sin and he repents. And this is what he wrote. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Next one. Against you and you alone I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Did you get that? Against you and only you I have sinned. I'm like, surely you sinned against Uriah, definitely you killed him. You sinned against Bathsheba, you sinned against many. There was a consequence to his actions, there was a lot of sin. But he had a perspective, I sinned against God alone. And not every single one of us need to have a perspective that we sinned against God ultimately, that we've broken his laws. Like if we're sitting around and we like, people have done stuff to us that I don't want to forgive. If there's a pride in us, if we think more of ourselves than we should, that there's an expectation that people need to do things, need to fix things, because they've sinned against us, we need to have perspective that have ultimately sinned against the living God. You know why? Because every single one of us have sinned. and we have sinned against the living God and he has forgiven us. You know what, we are, the way you get this is that you sinned against God, his time in his presence. Now, if there's a problem, an issue with understanding that we sin against God ultimately, and we don't understand that people don't ultimately sin against us, spend time in his presence. Because if you read the word, when you're spending time in his presence, what is the response? Going low. David was like, what is man that you are mindful of him? Isaiah was like, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, surrounded by people of unclean lips. John in Revelation was like, he fell to his feet as though dead. Let me tell you, if you're spending time in the presence of God, you go low. You're not worried about the splinter in other people's eyes. You're worried about the log in your eye. It's big. It's like, Lord, do something in me. All those other things is noise. Those offenses, unforgiveness, it is noise if you're spending time before God, because he will speak into your heart about what you need to do. You see, it's not an understanding issue. It's a presence of God issue. And I've landed. I can say, you know, on... David speaks about judgment there. And one day there's going to be a judgment day that we're going to come before the Lord. And on that day, I hope you don't have any hands on throats. But there's not going to be a jumping across the side. You're not going to jump on the judge side, stand by the Lord and say, I've got a few people to deal with today. I got a few hands on throats that I need to send a few people to hell this morning or today. That is not going to be what's going to happen. For me, I feel when you come in there, you're going to go low. You're going to be mercy, mercy, God, mercy. And on that day, there will be no mercy. On judgment day is a time of judging. Right now, there's a time of grace and mercy. There's a time to release hands on throats. There's a time to do it God's way, to submit to his ways, let him work in our hearts. Because on that day, we want to come humbly before him. And we want to be covered by the blood. We don't want to nullify the blood of Jesus. We want to be covered by the blood. Anton, if you can come up, or the worship guys. You know that song, Nothing But the Blood? No, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we're going to worship, but I just want to say, before we go there, as we worship, do business with God. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, if there's anything he's touching on, do business with God. Do not reject. Do not keep your hands on throats this morning. Do not nullify the blood of Christ this morning. Come into business with God. And if that thing is there, if you need prayer, look around and grab somebody and let them pray for you. And then when you're ready, go and take communion. But I want to caution you, I want to say that if you are not willing to let go of your hands, do not break bread, do not partake. But have a heart set on, Lord, I need to deal with this. I need to overcome in this. I need whatever you need. I need to walk with people, whatever you need. But get victory in this thing. But I would say, yo, Lord, come and work in my heart. There can be things here for decades, family things. I've seen families torn apart where the children didn't even know what the issue was. No, my dad and my uncle don't speak, so we don't speak. But what happened? I don't know. Things like that you need to lay down.